The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Essan.
And Doreen Ampofu.
In the headlines, President Mahama effects changes in top hierarchy of Ghana Armed Forces. Radio and television stations warned of possible closure if they contravene new law on content standards. Government directs Control and Accountant General's Department to complete migration process by March. Supreme Court calls for amendment of pension laws to ensure retired public officials cited for misconduct face prosecution. And Ugandan police investigate disappearance of cocaine seized by custom officials at main airport. First, a summary by Doreen Ampofu.
A major shakeup has hit the top hierarchy of the Ghana Armed Forces as President John Dramani Mahama has appointed a new Chief of Defense Staff, AVM Samson Michael Oji, replaces Vice Admiral Matthew Kwasi as the Chief of Defense Staff. According to an official communication from the Flagstaff House, Vice Admiral Matthew Kwasi has been appointed an ambassador designate. Air Commodore Maxwell Manchebite Nagai has also been appointed Chief of Air Staff. The National Media Commission has warned of possible closure of some radio and television stations who contravene the new law on content of standards. This follows the passage of LI-2224 by Parliament, which empowers the NMC to grant content authorization to an operator or revoke same if an operator contravenes the regulations. Government has directed the Control and Accountant General's Department to complete the migration process of civil servants and subvented agencies onto the government's mechanized payroll system by end of March. A statement issued by the Chief Director of the Ministry of Finance, Major Mahama Samotara, says civil servants whose salaries and subventions have not yet been regularized on government's mechanized payroll system may lose their salaries after March. And police in Uganda are investigating the disappearance of $4 million worth of cocaine seized by customs officials at the main airport. The substance was in secured stores and seized from smugglers between 2012 and 2014.
CBC mastering the airwaves with nothing but quality news and programming.
The news in detail. President John Dramani Mahama has announced changes in the top hierarchy of the Ghana Armed Forces. Air Vice Marshal Samson Michael Oje replaces Vice Admiral Matthew Kwasi as Chief of the Defense Staff. Vice Admiral Kwasi has been appointed Ambassador Designate. The other appointments are Chief of Air Staff, Air Commodore Maxwell Manchebite Nagai, Chief of Naval Staff, Commodore Peter Kufifiado, Chief of Staff at the General Headquarters, Brigadier General Samson Kujo Adeti. Chief of Army Staff, however, remains Major General Richard Kwamiopuku Ejise. The electronic media risk closure if they contravene a new legislative instrument, LI-2224, passed by Parliament to empower the National Media Commission, NMC, to sanitize the airwaves. The law allows the NMC to establish and maintain standards in the distribution of the content of public electronic communication and broadcasting services. The LIA Content Standards Regulations 2015, passed by Parliament in December 2015, also empowers the NMC to grant content authorization to an operator or revoke same if an operator comprising mainstream radio and television broadcasters, telecommunications operators or their agents, or any company that distributes electronic content contravenes the regulations. In an interview on the importance of the new law, the Executive Secretary of the NMC, George Sapong, said it is to ensure that distributors of content employ minimum standards in their work. Mr. Sapong said there are now evolving platforms for the delivery of content other than the traditional electronic services such as the radio, television, and the internet.
Now joining us on the line to look at how good this new ally is and how it's going to sanitize the airwaves is the president of the Ghana Journalists Association, Roland Afel. Morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Honorable Doreen.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Honorable Doreen.
Well, how laudable is this legislative instrument?
The DGA will be hesitant to make any quantum leap to conclude that this law is laudable or this law is bad. Now, there's a say in journalism which springs to mind, and it says, bad journalism attracts bad laws. And we are inclined to believe that the Media Commission was pushed to fight for this ally because of the impotence of in applying because of the impotence of applying Article 167(b) of the 1992 Constitution, which enjoins the Commission to take all appropriate measures to ensure the establishment and maintenance of the highest journalistic standards, the mass media, including the investigative, mediation, and settlement of complaints. When a couple of journalists tested the law, they had audacity to refuse to appear before the Media Commission. Most of the Media Commission is lambasted for having the temerity to back, but not the capacity to bite. And I believe this law is to strengthen the NMC to take indeed up all appropriate measures to sanitize the airways. But the DGA will urge caution in this respect because of our historical past, when the past were shackled by all kinds of obnoxious laws and helped by all kinds of constraints. What brings to my mind again are these two laws, two of them was notorious laws, the newspaper licensing law, under which the government in power would choose which papers to allow to circulate in the media space. We also shackled by that law which criminalized free speech. Thank God those laws have been consigned to the dustbin of history. But at the same time, we'd be overly worried about the excessive use of freedom or reckless use of freedom, especially relative to the 2008 elections. And this was also repeated in 2012. In those two election periods, we're teaching on the brink of state destruction just because some media houses were in the forefront of inciting violence. And the high voter tensions we characterize these two elections should prompt us to take appropriate measures to ensure that media space is sanitized. So as we urge caution on both the authorities who are applied the law, and of course, on the part of the media, because we should not fall easy prey to this law. And I believe when we operate within the confines of the law, all of us will be better off, and Ghana, our media consumers, will also be better off.
Now, you've mentioned the fact that there were some laws in the past which you believe were used to maybe stop or prevent the media from saying what they believe is right. Are you by any means saying that this new legislative instrument may be used by certain bodies or authorities who use it to hide behind such laws and then close down some stations that they perceive may not be doing their bit?
That's the more reason why we are urging caution, because that's the potential of being applied recklessly. Because we will fight against any law which will hound some journalists out of operation. We'll fight to the hilt because we have the capacity to fight. But at the same time, we believe that we live and operate in a dispensation of rule of law and a rule of jungle. So in the dispensation of rule of law, we expect all journalists to apply the law, especially when those laws do not hinder them in any way. So we urge caution on both sides, those who apply the law and, of course, media practitioners. I believe when we are guided by a sense of responsibility, I believe both of us will win.
Well, thank you very much for your time. That was President of the Ghana Journalists Association, Roland Afomoni.
Government has directed the Controller and Accountant General's departments to complete the migration process of civil servants and subvented agencies onto the government's mechanized payroll system by end of March this year. 20 subvented agencies, excluding the military, are yet to be migrated, a statement issued by the chief director of the Ministry of Finance, Major Mahama Samuel Tara, said following the inception of the government's policy decision to migrate all subvented organizations onto the mechanized payroll, the Controller and Accountant General's Department had, as of last month, migrated 120 organizations. The statement said the department informs all remaining agencies whose salaries are paid outside the Government of Ghana mechanized payroll system at Controller and Accountant General's Department that their subventions would cease in March this year if they failed to submit details of payroll information for migration onto the payroll. The policy decision is to effectively manage and exercise budgetary control over payroll cost. It said the information on affected agencies is available on the department's website at www.cagd.gov.gh.
Organized labor, the Ghana Employers Association and the Association of Ghana Industries will today meet with government over recent hikes in fuel prices as well as water and electricity. The increase in the water and electricity took effect on the 14th of last month, while the 25% increase in fuel as a result of the passage of the Energy Sector Levy 2015 took effect from yesterday. Today's meeting is to iron out issues relating to the increases and stay a possible strike by workers to back their demands for reduction in the utility prices. The Minister of Employment and Labour Relations, Haruna Idrisu, said the government team is going to dialogue with the unions to find a middle ground that will be beneficial to all.
The chairman of the Parliamentary Select Committee on Road and Transport, Theophilus Tetechai, has justified the increase in petroleum tax. He said it is only through these tax regimes that government can raise money to fund infrastructure projects. Mr. Tetechai, who spoke to George Asikri on Behind the News, said in as much as such increase may be challenging for the average Ghanaian, it is also necessary as they yield much economic benefits.
You see, as a country, I've always said that paying taxes is a difficult thing, even when you look, especially within biblical text, the Bible, paying taxes was a difficult thing. But you see, as a country, I've always asked this question. The only way we can develop as a nation is to ensure that we mobilize revenue from our own selves for development. And you ask yourself, we go in for loans from other countries, other developed countries, and we pay interest on such loans that we normally go in for. Now, these resources that we go in for are resources that they themselves, in terms of the citizens, have contributed. And those are some of the resources that they give to us as loans. And we also pay with interest. The question is, as a country, can we also, within our own selves, generate resources within the system so that this huge interest payment that we are paying on loans, those things will come to an end?
Looking at the ordinary Ghanaian, the current economic challenges that businesses are facing as a result of the energy crisis, public sector workers over the last 3 years have had increases in their pay less than 25%, and within a year alone, we are looking at utility tariffs, we are looking at here and there, and now the very latest. Can we pay?
I totally agree with you, but the question is, we also want the services improved, isn't it? And we all know that for services to be improved, you need resources to work with. We are complaining of road networks, our road networks being deteriorating, going back, and definitely it is resources that we as a people need to generate. Those resources can be used in rehabilitating these roads for us to use as a country.
A tax expert, Ali Nachia Abdallah, said taxes may be important for the development of a country, but the timing should be considered as well as preparing the people way before such taxes are rolled out.
Looking at the social context, that is when we will be talking about the timing factor. But the question is that if economically you don't impose it at the time that it should be imposed, then of course there will be more challenges than solutions. So in as much as we need the resources to pay back or construct our roads and improve facilities, I think the timing is also important. And by way of timing, the population needs to be prepared for what is ahead of them.
Looking at best practices elsewhere, should we be using taxes as a major source of revenue generation?
I think that if you look at all economies, tax is the major source of revenue to government. Reason being that government does not do business, and yet government is expected to provide for the welfare of the citizens. So the main source of revenue to government is from taxation. All other sources that other countries may have, including Ghana itself, would be additional and may not be as pronounced as that of tax revenue. In fact, the closest in terms of inflows other than tax revenue has been borrowing debt to run an economy. But the question is that where you apply the debt is of importance, because it should go in productive sectors to generate enough to pay back the debt as well as keep you in a sustained developmental path.
But some will even ask, the taxes that we've collected in the past, did we use them for the intended purpose? If we
exactly what we should all interrogate. I've always asked for public what we pay. Can we know how much we have generated, if it's per quarter or half year, and also what we have applied it to? Because if you look at the economy, we are faced with budget being read in November. Come January, disbursements start rolling. The next we'll hear would be another budget reading.
Tax expert Alina Chabdala talking to George Asikri. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: President Mahama effects changes in top hierarchy of Ghana Armed Forces. Radio and television stations warned of possible closure if they contravene new law on content standards. Government directs Controller and Accountant General's departments to complete migration process by March. Supreme Court calls for amendments of pension laws to ensure retired public officials cited for misconduct face prosecution. And Ugandan police investigate the disappearance of cocaine seized by customs officials at main airport. Do stay tuned.
Welcome back. The Supreme Court has in a unanimous decision called for the immediate amendment of the country's pension laws to allow retired public servants alleged to have misconducted themselves while in office to be dealt with appropriately without the hiding behind the cloak of retirement. The seven-member panel presided over by Justice Julius Ansah explained that the situation whereby errant public servants and officials take advantage of their retirement and escape punishment tends to undermine respect for the law governing employees in terms of good conduct. The highest court of the land made the recommendation in a judgment in a case titled Justice Frank Kweju Amwa versus the Attorney General, in which the plaintiff, a retired high court judge, sued the government for a number of reliefs. The reliefs included a declaration that the plaintiff, having compulsorily retired as high court judge since December 7, 2011, is not subject to the processes prescribed for the removal of a justice of the Superior Court of Judicature as under Article 146 of the Constitution.
The national president of the Islamic Mission Secretariat, Sheikh Haroon Ahmad Afau, has urged Muslims, particularly the youth, to desist from all forms of violence, especially those that are election-related. He said Muslims must ensure they contribute to the maintenance of peace in the country this election year. Sheikh Afau was reading a communique adopted by the Islamic Mission Secretariat at its 51st annual national convention at Dreyan Kwanta in the Bunafu region. The convention, under the theme Islam, the most peaceful religion, Ubengi John Samata's report.
The Islamic Mission Secretariat, IMS, was established 50 years ago to, among others, mobilize Muslims not only to worship Allah better, but also develop in other spheres of life like education. This year's convention, which was well patronized by members from across the country, also doubled as a fundraiser for the proposed Islamic University College of Education, currently being constructed at Kufodia near Dreyan Kwanta in the Tano North district of Nahafo. The national president of the IMS, Sheikh Haroon Ahmed Atten, stressed that as this year is an election year, all Ghanaians must be concerned about the maintenance of peace, which is a prerequisite for development. He wished all political parties in the country well and called for a level playing field for the best to prevail. The IMS national leader regretted the deep-seated differences between Muslim groups in the country and called for an effort to bring them together to seek the welfare of Muslims. He stressed that since they all follow one prophet, it should not be difficult for Muslims in Ghana to unite under one umbrella. Sheikh Apil emphasized that with a united front, they would be able to do so much, including raising funds for the proposed Islamic University College of Education. He stressed that such a project is long overdue since there are 138 Islamic basic schools in Bunahafo and 400 in Ashanti, adding that there must be an Islamic university to produce the teachers needed by the basic schools.
That report was filed by John Samasa.
The Minister of Gender, Children and Social Protection, Nana Oyelisa, says government has put in place measures to ensure that persons with disability, PWDs, are not left out in the country's development process. She assured PWDs that government has them at heart and the ministry will continue to work in their interest. Nana Oyelisa said this when she donated in Accra rice, detergent, mosquito nets and money to selected schools of the deaf. Eleanor Bing Apia has more.
The beneficiary schools were the Cape Coast, Ashaiman Schools for the Deaf, Kanishi Cripples Home, a Futu branch of the Ghana Federation of Disabled, and the St. Teresa's Rehabilitation Center at Abor in the Volta region. Nana Oyelisa said the donation is the ministry's contribution to help disabled persons celebrate the new year. She said government is working to ensure that issues of disability are mainstreamed into the development process. Nana Oyelisa said measures are being put in place for disabled children to enjoy free education at the basic level.
Our government, led by President John Dramani Mahama, is implementing a lot of interventions for persons with disability. The president has directed that one person, one presidential nominee under the district assembly should be a person with disability. So we're engaging with the various groups, the federation and the various groups, on how to select one person. Already the Ministry of Local Government has accepted the guidelines for this process. So one presidential nominee under our local government and district assembly will be a person with disability throughout the over 200 districts in Ghana. Apart from that, under our National Council on Persons with Disability, we are going to monitor the administration of the 2% Common Fund. It has already started. Our Executive Secretary has started that. We are also going to ensure that the registration of under the National Health Insurance will extend to persons with disability. During the first quarter of 2016, we will launch this in Central Region in the Futu.
The headmaster of the Cape Coast School for the Deaf, Setum Ametewi, on behalf of the beneficiary schools, thanked the ministry for the gesture and assured the ministry that the items will be put to good use.
Helen Obinapia filed that report.
The Bolgatanga Municipal Administrator of the Ghana Health Service, Prespa Asandem, has observed that preventive medicine is key to the sustainability of the National Health Insurance Scheme. He therefore proposed to the National Health Insurance Authority to include experts on preventive medicine in the health committee that advises the NHIA. He made the statement during a stakeholders meeting organized by the NHIS in Bolgatanga, during which the performance of the scheme was reviewed. We bring you more in this report.
Mr. Asandem urged dietitians, nutritionists, health promotion experts, and environmental health workers to help reduce the financial pressure on the NHIS. He further challenged government, NGOs, the private sector, donor agencies, district assemblies, and international health partners to join forces to champion the promotion of preventive medicine rather than emphasizing on curative care alone. He called on the NHIA to collaborate with the Ministry of Health and the GHS to train more dietitians, nutritionists, health promotion experts, and environmental health workers, and to push them to the field. Mr. Asandem attributed the use the cause of many preventive diseases such as cholera and typhoid to poor hygiene and suggested the need to bring back the sanitary inspectors concept to help curb the menace. He stressed the need for prudent financial management and good collaboration between the provider and the NHIS.
That was a news desk report.
In foreign news, Ugandan police are investigating the disappearance of cocaine worth nearly $4 million seized by customs officers at its main airport. The substance, which was in secure stores, was said to have been seized from smugglers between 2012 and 2014. According to police spokesperson Fred Inanga, a task force has been set up to conduct an audit into the control and accountability of drug exhibits at the Aviation Police Headquarters. The state-owned newspaper New Vision, which first reported the matter, said wheat and cassava flour and other substances were substituted for the cocaine. It said the issue was revealed after detectives took 17 separate samples from the stores for testing at the government analytical laboratory last year.
Teachers in Gabon have launched a one-man strike to demand bonuses and unpaid salaries less than a year after a wage dispute closed many schools for almost 3 months. A union leader, Simon Ndong Ejo, said they had obtained written and signed commitments, but the government has not only failed to respect the deadlines, but does not even speak about it anymore. In February last year, about 20 public sector unions led by teachers called a strike to press for higher wages, leaving many schools closed for about 3 months and threatening to write off the whole academic year for many students. President Ali Bongo Ondimba said at the time that he had met the main demands of the strikers. He announced the introduction of new remuneration system aimed at ending the system of bonuses in favor of wage increases based on individual and collective performances. The teachers have warned that if nothing is done in the coming days, they will continue going on strike until the situation becomes clearer.
Now to end the news, the main point again. A major shakeup has hit the top hierarchy of the Ghana Armed Forces as President John Dramani Mahama has appointed a new Chief of Defense Staff. AVM Samson Michael Oje replaces Vice Admiral Matthew Kwasi as the Chief of Defense Staff. According to an official communication from the Flag Staff House, Vice Admiral Matthew Kwasi has been appointed an ambassador designate. The National Media Commission has warned of possible closure of some radio and television stations who contravened a new law on content of standards. This follows the passage of LI 2224 by Parliament, which empowers the NNC to grant content authorization to an operator or revoke same if an operator contravenes the regulations. And government has directed the Controller and Accountant General's Department to complete the migration process of civil servants and subvented agencies onto the government's mechanized payroll system by end of March. A statement by the Chief Director of the Ministry of Finance said civil servants whose salaries and subventions have not yet been regularized in government's mechanized payroll system may lose their salaries after March. The news was presented by Doreen Ampofu
and Samuel Essa in Accra.